Today I want us to think about being courageous and also being an encourager of others. We're going to finish with our focus on spiritual maturity today, and we've covered a lot of characteristics, a lot of traits of those who are spiritually mature, and the last characteristic we need to think about involves us just being courageous people, and that's because all of the other qualities of spiritually mature people, all the other traits that we've studied, more often than not, they're fueled, they're built, they're cultivated by courage, having courage. A characteristic of the spiritually mature is being courageous. You know, they have the courage to do what's needed in any given situation. They have the courage to do what's needed to grow spiritually. You know, they have the courage to live different than the world around them. And then connected to having courage is the idea of encouraging other people too. You know, the spiritually mature will want to see other people do as they have done, to see the benefits of courage in their lives, and they want to see that in other people's lives. That they'll encourage other Christians to develop, to grow and encourage, you know, knowing that, you know, they're going to be better served by being courageous people. Now with that, at our introduction to our topic, we need to ask and think about for a moment, what is courage? Well, you could really sum it up. Courage is all about doing what we're afraid to do. It's not about the absence of fear. Courage is about the ability to resist fear, to master it. It's not the absence of fear. Courage gives us the ability to experience any kind of difficulties with a firmness, with a resolve, in spite of the presence of fear. Let me give you a quick example. The Apostle Paul was a very, very courageous man. And we can know that because of some of the things he said. 1 Corinthians 2:3 said, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling." Sounds like a scaredy cat, doesn't it? Right? Think about what he's saying. You know? In chapter 7, verse 5, he says, "For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears." Paul had to deal with a lot of fearful situations. Paul was afraid. He was absolutely afraid. His life was often on the line because he lived for Christ. You know, he was mocked, he was humiliated, hated, despised, accused of evil, beaten, stoned to death. But yet, Paul was always willing to move forward for the cause of Christ. He was afraid, but he remained firm and resolved, even in spite of his fear. That's courage. That's the idea of courage. This is a quality that's desperately needed by all Christians. But it's also a quality that's very, very hard to develop. You know, being courageous usually doesn't come early and easy for a Christian. In fact, being courageous is usually very, very hard for seasoned Christians also. I mean, just think about it like this once. Think about some of the illustrations, some examples. I mean, we've all probably failed to say what we should have said to someone. Why is that? Or we've all probably had an issue with someone else, and instead of addressing it like we should, we just left it go on and fester and that kind of stuff. Or here's another one. There have been people in our lives who have shared some kind of false belief, and we kept quiet. Those are just a few very common examples that remind us that courage doesn't always come easy. I mean, see, we're all safe and sound in here. You know, in this building, we can put on a show. We can convince ourselves that we're all we need to be in Christ Jesus. We can leave each other with the impression that through the week we're, you know, standing as light towers of truth and in purity among our fellow man, that kind of stuff. But once we cross through those doors, that's when fear can really, of living a Christ-like life, can really get a hold of us. That's when it's really hard sometimes to apply the character of Christ to our lives. And so we got to work and try to behave the way we're supposed to. Because what happens when we go out into the world? Let's say we go to our place of employment, we go to work, and we behave just like everyone else. Why do we do that? You know, we go to school and we do everything just to fit in. Why do we do that? We live out our lives among countless number of peoples during our lifetime, and many of them don't really know that the most distinguishing thing about us should be the fact that we're Christians. Why is that? Well, it's because oftentimes we lack courage. And so if we would just remember the people like Paul, if we would just remember the people, people in the Bible, so many people in the Bible, they faced fear, right, with courage. You know, how they had everything to lose, and yet they refused to blend in with the world. Maybe if we could just hold on to what they teach us, we'd have more courage. You know that those people are written of in the Bible. One reason we read about them is so that we will take courage, you know. And they teach us that fear is no excuse. In the book of Hebrews, for example, Hebrews is encouraging people to have courage, to stick with it. He spends all lengthy section of Hebrews, but in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer starts recounting all the people who had faith from the Old Testament times, right? And their faith was fueled by courage, and so we see their faith in certain actions. And at the end of that long list of people who were afraid, but yet they were courageous, they continued to be faithful, Hebrews 12:1 turns to us, the reader, and says, okay, we need to be the same way. It says, therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. He's saying, have courage, stick with it. You know, all those people who have gone before us, they're examples for us to learn from. They're there to encourage us to do better, to convict us for having a lack of courage. They should inspire us to truly spiritually mature in our lives. You know, also their experience also teaches us that when we do lack courage, when we don't follow through, we really miss out big time. I mean, when we act courageously, there's often a worldly price to pay, right? But at the same time, there's usually a tremendous spiritual benefit. You know, having courage, we'll experience tremendous things because we're going to experience God at work in our lives. I mean, just think about what a lack of courage would have done for certain Bible heroes, people of faith. Noah would have never stepped out of that ark to see a whole new world if he didn't have courage. Abraham, you know, would have stayed in his homeland, and he wouldn't have gotten to have this experience, this relationship with the creator of the universe. Can you imagine? I can't. Could you imagine the fear of being trapped between the Red Sea and Moses' army? Could you imagine? Yet how great it must have been for Moses to see God part that sea. You see, life is a whole lot better when we take on a few bears and lions like David, because it gets us ready for Goliath. When we take courage in the Lord, that's when we get to see him at work in our lives. That's when we take courage, we say, wow, what God says to do, it really does work. Time and time again, good and great things come because of being courageous and doing what we should. And that's why in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, God had Paul write, said, for whatever things were written before, right, the stuff we just talked about, the Old Testament stuff, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And depending on the context, that word is translated comfort in the New King James Version, means exhortation, encouragement, appeal, request. And so that's why I included the ESV here. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Here God is telling us, He's telling us, what I have written down in this book for you to learn from, it is there to encourage you. It's here so that, you know, you may learn to be courageous people. And that's because the Bible teaches us so many amazing things over and over again, that God is faithful. And that if we take courage and we do as he is instructed, we will be rewarded for it. Now, it's not always going to be easy. We know that. But it's going to be worth it. Time and time again, God has shown us, especially through the lives of those faithful people like in Hebrews 11, that, you know, this is the reality of really living for him, and it's worth every bit of it. That's the point that we read in the Hebrews text. All those people courageously acted on their faith, you know, because they knew that they would be rewarded for it, you know, and the Bible, full of fulfilled promises, says take courage in your daily life. Take courage. And so right here, we also need to make a vital point. A lot of Christians lack courage because they also lack a commitment to the scriptures. You know, some people are naturally more courageous than others. We're all wired differently. But most people in the Bible, you know, the Bible examples we have, they were courageous because they had faith in God's word. So God supplies us this courage by what we learn about in his word. We trust it. We believe in it. You know, if we're not feeding on God's word, then courage is going to be even harder to come by. So we need to make sure that we're really getting our daily dose of God's word. Otherwise, we'll be claiming Christianity, but we'll really be living up to our potential. Now, like I said, this is a two-parter. You know, moving on from being people of courage, directly tied to being encouraged by the Bible teaches us to encourage one another. Think about it. Since we need encouragement, it only makes sense to have encouraging people around us and for us to encourage others. Now, there's two passages that stand out here about encouragement. The first is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul writes, therefore, comfort, that's the word encourage, therefore, encourage each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. It's a commanded thing. The Thessalonians were doing a good job of encouraging each other. And Paul is saying, here, keep doing what you're doing because we all need it. Everyone around us needs it. You know, we're to encourage one another, you know, in knowing and obeying the word of God. Encourage one another to stay strong, to do the right things, whatever the cost. The Thessalonians, they lived a life of affliction because they had the courage to live out their Christianity, their proclamation to be Christians. And so, you know, because they had the courage to obey the gospel, they were paying a worldly price. And they needed to encourage one another to keep doing that, to stand strong. And today we need the same thing. We need encouragement from each other. Our world today at the moment, they're okay with you and I claiming to be a Christian. But that's just as long as we don't really live like Christians. Because the moment we call sin a sin, or the moment we say that there's only one way to heaven, whatever it is, the world says you need to shut up and get back in line, right? And we need encouragement not to change to suit the world. We need to help each other, you know, to do the right thing because there's a worldly price to pay. The other passage here in Hebrews 10 says that let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Again, context is important here, to be encouraged and encouraging others. The author of Hebrews is writing to Christians who are experiencing persecution. They're under pressure to return to the Old Testament Jewish sacrificial system. And so a lot of the text leading up to this section is saying, it spells out the completeness in Christ, Christianity, the New Testament. You know, Christ is great, how he fulfilled the law, that kind of stuff. Basically, all the text that leads up to what we just read here, it tells us why we should take courage in Christ and obey him. You know, and so based on those things, he says, let us. There's a lot of let us's here. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast the confession. That's talking about let us take courage as individuals. That's what those things mean. And then he says, and let us consider one another. Let's consider one another to stir up love and good works. We must mutually encourage one another in this Christian life. And so what verse 24 is really saying, let us take note of. Let us observe, let us perceive one another, observe carefully, look at, consider, contemplate something about someone. And so what the text is saying, say, spend some time carefully observing one another. It's a responsibility for us to genuinely notice people. And this is a call for us to lovingly pay attention to the other people in this room. You know, so we might be able to pick up on their hurts, on their needs in order to help accordingly, to ask what does this person need, to encourage them toward love and good works. And now there's all kinds of ways to do this, many ways to encourage, but there's three I want to note today here quickly. The one is it starts at home. You know? What better place to practice and teach encouragement than starting with our own families? If we work on building a culture of encouragement at home, it's going to spill its way into the church. That's the idea of pushing one another in the home to choose to do what is good, what is right, those types of things. Spouses, children, parents, children, all of us can take part in this. And so a fine place to start learning to encourage others is home. We're getting used to practicing that. Second, we need to think about the guidelines that we just read in Hebrews 10, 23, and 24. Is as we look at each other, we think about the qualities that each other, that we see in each other. You know, we should tell others that we see and appreciate the good things that they do. Encouragement is a lot about that. Trying to say, hey, you're doing great here. Keep it up. And well, sometimes if it's not so good, say, hey, I know you can do better. I believe in you. You know, things like punctuality, tactfulness, faithfulness, thoroughness, diligence, honesty, compassion, you know, faith, all those different types of characteristic traits that we have. Simply calling attention to those things is encouraging to others. And because it helps those people to recognize their own spiritual growth. You know, just telling someone about that you see their good needs, that those things have been noticed, that could be encouraging for them to stick it out. It can help them to see their value in the body of Christ. And of course, the third thing, we especially need to show support with someone who's struggling. You know? While usually we can't make the problems go away. We just can't. You know, but we can offer genuine words of concern, words of hope, words of comfort. There are a lot of reasons why we struggle, why we sometimes get discouraged. Right now, we live in a world where it's really easy to get discouraged. I think everyone needs a couple mental health days, right? Right? A little time in the sun on the beach, just to get away from all of it. You know, it's easy to get discouraged. So whatever we may face, though, God has called us to encourage one another, to keep striving. Now, before we finish, I also want to see the example that Jesus set. Just a tremendous, he is the ultimate example, right? Though deeply troubled when he's facing the cross, he commits himself to his mission. One text here in John 12 says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." I mean, Jesus drew his courage from his faith in what the Father had promised to do. I mean, if you're sweating drops of blood in the garden, you must be a really courageous person to keep following through with it. And resting completely in that victory that he would accomplish, trusting in the Father in order to defeat Satan and sin, he went boldly to the cross. Jesus was as courageous as you can get. But that's not all, right? Because just hours before his arrest, Jesus also encouraged others. He wanted to impart courage to his disciples. In John 16, here he's speaking to the apostles, right? He's in that, and he says, "Do you now believe?" He said, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and has now come, that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So he said, he's telling the guys he's just spent the last 3 years with, "Yeah, you're all about to abandon me. You're all about to run away. And I know it. Don't worry, I'm going to be okay. But I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be strong on the backside of that, in that backside of that abandonment." And as it relates to courage, there's a couple powerful lessons here, right? You know, first, Jesus gives us the example of the courage that we need to have, but then also of encouraging them. And he shows, think about what he's about to suffer. Think about what he's about to go through. And he's still thinking about, how can I help someone else? Could you imagine if we all had that constantly before us, that mentality of, I'm going to be courageous, and how can I help someone else, no matter what we're going through, no matter the adversity, the trial? Think about how much we would strengthen each other. You know? And when he says, "I have overcome the world," there, he's also telling us, here's the reason you can even have any courage: his victory. His victory is the foundation for our courage today. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's our example. He's the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. He's our example both of being courageous and for being an encourager to others. And he's the reason that we can even take courage. We need to think about what Jesus has done for us so we can say, you know what, I can get through this. I can do this. I can do it the right way, the way he wants. He's laid the groundwork. He's given his life for me so I can get through this. Let us continue to be more like Christ. Let us think about his sacrifice, his love, and also thinking about his forgiveness of us. I need to remind you today, those of you who haven't been baptized into Christ, I want you to know that if you have been forgiven of your sins, whatever fears you may have, those are well-founded. Well, we should never take courage in meeting a holy God while being clothed in sin. And so Jesus made it so we don't have to do that. Right? Think about how awesome and great and powerful God is, how holy he is. Right? We're going to spend time on that, Lord willing, in coming weeks. And think, now Jesus made it so you can have courage. You can approach the throne of God with courage. He says, you don't have to keep living your life that way. And so he said, I suffered the cross so you can have live a different kind of life. He tells us that. A life lived according to his word. A life that requires sacrifice, but it's a life lived courageously because we can rest in the fact that he saved us from our sins. But we have to be repentant of those sins and baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins, and then continue to be courageous to be faithful the rest of our lives. So the invitation goes out this morning. Any of you who are ready to live your life for Christ, to be forgiven of your sins and buried in baptism, to respond by coming to the front as we stand and sing.